Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
You know, in your club or your scout troop or your classroom or whatever, who those folks are that you kind of side-eye them. I'm like, well, they don't sign up for anything. They never, you know, right? But then I kind of want to be those people because I got stuff to do.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Battleground Wisconsin heating up once again on a day when we'll see the Harris-Waltz campaign hitting the trail in Georgia. Let's start with Wisconsin. Vice presidential nominee Senator J.D. Vance with his, I think it's his third trip to the state in 3 weeks. He'll be at a company in De Pere, just outside of Green Bay. His message focused on the economy, going to talk about inflation. The event is coming up this evening. And you have former President Donald Trump. He'll be at a town hall in La Crosse tomorrow night. That event will be moderated. So questions asked by former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
If you love our country, as I do, if you cherish peace and freedom, as we do, I invite you to join me in doing all that we can to save our country and elect President Donald J. Trump and send him back to the White House to do the tough work of saving our country and serving the people.
So that's former Congresswoman Gabbard endorsing former President Trump earlier this month, and she is also a former Democrat, which is why they love her and how she articulates the message. Served 8 years in Congress as a Democrat from the state of Hawaii. She's been an outspoken supporter of the former president, and they're going to use her as someone who says Democrats no longer represent the values that she held when she was a Democrat in Congress. Also an outspoken critic of the Justice Department's efforts to prosecute the former president, and there's news on that front today.
Yes, an updated indictment's been filed by Special Counsel Jack Smith against Trump for his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
The new indictment charges Trump with the same four crimes as the previous indictment, including conspiracy to defraud the United States, to obstruct the certification of the electoral votes on January 6th, and conspiracy against the right to vote and to have one's vote counted. But the charges are now only for what he allegedly did in his role as a candidate, not as president.
It's ABC's Lionel. Now, the filing came just 70 days now before the election. 70. DOJ requires any charges brought against a candidate, they got to be filed more than 60 days before the election. So the Trump legal team now arguing that, hey, what about early voting? Can they want this thrown out if they can get it, or at least they want to push it back. Obviously, no trial would happen before the election in November.
Back to the campaign. Haven't seen the Harris-Waltz campaign since the convention wrapped up nearly a week ago in Chicago. That will change today.
Vice President Harris hasn't had any public events since she wrapped up the Democratic National Convention last week in Chicago. Sources tell ABC she's been working with her team to get ready for her debate against Donald Trump, taking place on September 10th in Philadelphia. In early August, she did at least two mock debates to start that preparation. The vice president's also been gaming out the final 10 weeks of the campaign, including her media strategy. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
So both the vice president and her running mate, Governor Waltz, will begin a campaign bus tour in Georgia today. Both will sit for their first joint interview and first extended interview with any media for the vice president since President Biden dropped out of the race a month ago. That will air tomorrow on CNN with Dana Bash. And as you heard in the top of the hour news, Governor Waltz and his wife will be in Milwaukee on Labor Day.
Yeah, we tend to bring the presidential visits or the campaign visits on Labor Day.
Was President Biden here a year ago?
Yeah, recently.
Like, it's a frequent stop for a candidate or even a sitting president on Labor Day here in Milwaukee. 6:15, sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Live in stereo with my main man, Jackson Cheerio.
Yeah, you want to hear it? Jackson Cheerio hit a bomb.
Now he goes on a 2-0 that's drilled into deep left center field. High, majestic, way up and out. Home run, Jackson Cheerio, a two-run blast. He clobbered the longest home run of the season for any Brewer. 449 feet. And the Brewers take a 2-1 lead off of Webb in the third.
449 feet. It broke the scoreboard.
What a shot.
I think he just knocked out a pixel on the scoreboard.
He sure did.
They just got that fixed.
They finally cycled it through. The thing's been working fine.
And then he busts off a piece. That gave the Brewers a lead, as you heard Josh Morris say. Willy Adames would also have a two-run shot. But it was Mike Yastrzemski, a solo shot in the seventh, that would put the Giants up 5-4. And that's how it would end. The Brewers lose. Game had a little bit of everything. Even a Blake Perkins highway robbery, stealing another home run. But all for naught. Brewers lose. Same teams tonight right here on WDTMJ.
Green Bay Packers have their 53-man roster set. Cut down day on Monday. As it stands right now, sorry, cut down day was Tuesday. As it stands right now, the biggest headlines from all that, Packers cut both their backup quarterbacks, Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt. They officially announced the trade for Tennessee Titans quarterback Malik Willis, who apparently will get the job now until they figure something else out.
So you, okay. All right. All the eggs are in the one basket, I suppose.
Son, you got a week and a half. Get up to speed. Also cut kicker Anders Carlson. So right now, our guy is veteran and former Viking Greg Joseph. Other news, running back and mayor of Door County, as he's called, A.J. Dillon, out for the season, but still on the team. He was placed on injured reserve, but the kind where you can't come back this year. Packers will have an opportunity if no other teams pick them up to sign up to 17 players to their practice squad.
Nothing is a line. Everything, everywhere is always moving, forever.
And one other note from 1265 Lombardi Avenue, the team announced that it will sell standing room only tickets for each home game. And they say these tickets cannot be resold. I don't know how they figure that out, but whatever. So you can't buy a whole bunch of these and then try to sell them and whatever. But they're standing room only tickets. Fans will be able to hang out and then stand with sight lines of the field in that newer south end zone section.
Cool.
400 right. Level tickets are $95 a piece and go on sale today. Casey Neal is the Venmo mom.
I don't want to do all that extra shit. I am a Venmo mom.
Venmo mom, okay.
She doesn't want to do all that extra shoot. Woman's brutally honest and unapologetic TikTok about volunteering for stuff at school, gaining traction as Fox News just reposted it on social media.
I don't know about anyone else out there, but Meet the Teacher is super stressful because I do not want to be involved at all.
It's time of year for Meet the Teacher, right? You
okay,
go to school,
yeah.
You get the classroom stuff, and she does clarify, not that she doesn't want to be involved in her children's lives or their education. She just doesn't want to do stuff.
I will make sure my kids obviously like do their homework, get to school on time and stuff. But I don't want to be on PTO, PTA, room mom, team mom. I don't want to do any of that.
PTO, PTA, room mom, team mom, den mom, scout mom, not interested. And she knows this is a hot take.
I start getting real stressed when they start asking for volunteers. And I'm like, oh, no, I know they're judging me because I'm not raising my hand, but I don't want to do all that extra shit. I don't want to come in. I don't want to set up.
I don't want to set up. I don't want to be on the cleanup team. I don't want to bring chairs. I don't want to do all this other crap.
To each their own. I understand that.
So some folks have been commenting, cheering her on. Others are appalled. I saw this first. Like, I can't even remember what my initial reaction was because I both love this lady and despise her. I think she has.
Because you didn't think of it first?
Well, no, I think she has the courage to be the person I would like to be.
Right.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
So, because usually then it's my wife. Well, I signed us up for concessions on this night.
Right.
I signed us up. We're on this.
Yep.
You're the booster club rep. You're the this, you're the that. And it's nothing. Some people really enjoy doing that. Right. And as you said, to each their own. Some people really love that, being hyper involved.
But you can appreciate the Venmo mom aspect, though. I mean, fully admit we've fallen into that before where, you know what, instead of volunteering for 4 hours or 20 hours, you can also just donate some money instead.
Look, I will buy all of your candy bars. OK, so just here, take the money and bring it back. And, you know,
she says exactly that.
I even told one of the coaches today that I am a Venmo mom. So
so meaning, what do you need? If the classroom needs stuff, whatever, tell me how much. I'll send it on over. Don't ask me to set up.
But Vinny, you like being clipboard guy, don't you?
Clipboard guy's a good assignment.
Yeah. There you go.
But that, but to that point, like, that's a thing. So I have a cheer daughter, and this is a cheer mom also. So she speaks to me there as well. Because that's one of those things where you have a lot of volunteer opportunities and you're very active and whatever. And yeah, like, when we have our big events, it's all hands on deck and everyone is expected to give the weekend.
The parents who don't give the weekend are usually shamed or at least passively aggressively behave toward.
You know, in your club or your scout troop or your classroom or whatever, who those folks are that you kind of side eye and like, well, they don't sign up for anything. They never, you know, right? But then I kind of want to be those people because I got stuff to do. But yeah, her point well taken. I don't know. I some of it is comedy. It appears to be comedy,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But
some truth to that comedy. Every joke has a little bit of truth, as you know.
I don't want to do all that extra shit. I am a Venmo mom.
Brewers Jackson Churio put one off the scoreboard and broke it. And it still wasn't enough. We'll do sports at 6:45.
There are many things in life that make me smile. My wife and kids make me smile. Skittles.
Your garage doors.
My garage doors make me smile. And random animals on the loose always seem to make me smile. The latest animal on the loose in Pleasant Hill, Iowa.
I was like, really? A water buffalo?
Yes, a water buffalo. Police are on the hunt for this water buffalo that escaped from its owner while loading it for slaughter. They're ready to put this thing down, and it jumped away, and apparently it's not nice.
Police are warning that the water buffalo is not friendly and say it has shown aggressive behavior.
Yes, an aggressive water buffalo that has been nicknamed Phil because it's been running around Pleasant Hill, Iowa.
Oh, Phil. Pleasant Hill Phil. Yeah, there he is. He's at it again.
And now here we are.
One of his water buffalo got out, and it's running down the street. I need somebody to shoot it.
Yeah, KCCI News with the 911 call. They need someone to shoot this thing.
Officers confronted the water buffalo here at this bank behind me.
All right, that's KCCI there with the play-by-play. So here, listen to the cop.
It's hard to believe until officers caught it on camera further south, closer to the main drag.
In the background, woman asks, hey, are you going to shoot it?
Hey, they want to shoot it?
Not a real good backdrop here.
Yeah, he's like, I can't just shoot it anywhere.
Ain't you gonna shoot it right there?
I mean, it's wandering
around. Yeah, I see him.
Yes, but we are in a community.
We're in a neighborhood here.
He did find an opportunity.
450. One job hired.
But it was not enough. Buffalo still on the lam.
They're
Phil.
Big.
Yes, it's still out there jumping over fences and wandering Pleasant Hill, Iowa as of this morning.
This is a slightly more tragic story than you usually share of the animal on the
loose.
Well,
this one was going to be eaten anyway, so I think they're
just
trying to...
And he was mean. He was a mean buffalo.
Yeah, yes, very aggressive buffalo.
Police are warning that the water buffalo is not friendly and say it has shown aggressive behavior.
Yeah, now he just got shot.
Yeah, but still on the lam, was able to recover from that. Shot him with a shotgun, so probably wasn't a clean shot.
Mm, well, report back to us on Phil's whereabouts.
Continue to monitor.
6:39, Wisconsin's morning news.
I was like, really? A water buffalo?
Mosquito-borne illnesses making the news on the East Coast in particular. New York City neighborhoods spraying pesticides to control a bumper crop as West Nile and triple E viruses are of concern. Let's do West Nile first, because my son, Eric, who is a fair-skinned mosquito magnet, actually came to me the other day, teenager. He's like, what's going on with this West Nile? Like, I'm in trouble.
What do I need to know?
Mosquitoes love me. I'm like, and I told him not to worry. We have had West Nile here and there in Wisconsin for a couple of decades.
It's true.
One confirmed human case this year. Mosquitoes spread the virus from infected animals, birds namely, some others, to other animals like humans and back and forth. So they spread it. It doesn't go human to human. For the vast majority of us, this is not something to be overly concerned about. CDC reports 1 in 5 infected people will even notice symptoms, which would be pretty standard. Fever, okay. Headache, body aches, rash, maybe some gastrointestinal stuff. But it's 80% of us, if you had West Nile, you wouldn't even know it.
Okay.
For those who are immunocompromised, however, West Nile can be deadly. In fact, I know someone who died from it, somebody locally, friend of our family. I believe he was a transplant recipient, and oftentimes when they're on those anti-rejection medications and things that can lower your immune system, your body's ability to fight illnesses. So something small for most of us was deadly
for him. He passed away. So it's not nothing. But again, for most of us, really nothing to get overly worked up about. Triple E is back in the news out east, also a mosquito-borne virus, Eastern Equine Encephalitis.
Health officials say the adult patient was hospitalized with severe central nervous system disease, testing positive for Eastern Equine Encephalitis virus. It's New Hampshire's first death in 10 years. While most infected people don't have symptoms, some cases can be severe. About 30% of those who get brain inflammation die.
Yeah, so that's a death. From Triple E, as they call it, ABC's Ariel Reshef reporting there. This one is a little different than West Nile in that it is exceedingly rare, but also appears more likely to cause those complications. So in terms of Wisconsin, checked with our state health department, we've only had 5 human cases of Triple E ever reported in our state since 1964, I guess, when they began tracking this. But 4 of those 5 cases have occurred since 2011. So I still am with you. I haven't noticed this to be a bad mosquito season.
Not until very recently. I feel like they've popped up a little bit the last week or so, more than ever before.
When we talked to our guy from UW, a number of other people texted in from different parts of the listening area saying,
"No, it's
where
awful.
Do you guys live? Because yeah. we're getting carried away by mosquitoes.
Right.
So seems like it's spotty, but at least for me on the south side, not too bad this year. 6:45, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
It was a shot heard all around AmFam Field. Jackson Cherio hitting a home run shot 449 feet. It busted the scoreboard.
What a shot.
I think he just knocked out a pixel on the scoreboard.
He sure did. That hit the very left edge of that big video board. In left center field. And it did. It knocked out one of the panels. Yeah,
busted out some lights. It gave the Brewers the lead in the third 2-1, but they would fall 5-4 to the Giants. Game really had a lot of stuff for you, a lot of highlights in it. Blake Perkins with a great catch to steal a home run. It was also super hot, Murph.
I think guys were a little warm and sweating profusely, but I think both teams did a nice job. I thought it was a fairly well-played game.
Yeah, Murph really enjoyed the game. It just, unfortunately, they came
he really liked
on
it,
the
huh?
hill. Yeah. Same teams tonight right
Murph
here
really
on
the
WTMJ.
Game. Green Bay Packers will try to set their practice squad this week. There's a period here where other teams can sign guys whom the Packers and other teams cut, and if no one picks them up, then they can go on the team's 17-member squad for the practice squad. There's a possibility that we would see some of these folks on game day still this season, depending on how things play out with performance and injuries. Notable cuts as the team set the 53-man roster.
Carlson! No! Wide left and a big miss for the young kicker.
Too many big misses. Anders Carlson cut. The talented but unreliable kicker of last season is out. For now, the Packers will go with veteran and former Viking Greg Joseph. Packers cut both their backup quarterbacks, Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, officially announcing a trade for Tennessee Titans QB Malik Willis, placed popular but struggling and injured running back A.J. Dillon on season-ending injured reserve. 6:49 in Wisconsin's Morning News. .652 on Wisconsin's Morning News, bringing our friend and teammate from 101.7 The Truth, host of the afternoon show, Dr. Ken Harris.
Good morning.
Man, you are just the guy I wanted to ask about this.
Uh-oh.
My home school district of where I grew up in Wauwatosa, back
right.
in the news, not for good reasons. They got a $4 million budget hole that they just found or figured out, or I'm not even entirely sure how that happens. And then all this talk about a legal opinion on possibly merging with MPS, there's nothing there, right?
Well, they wanted to see whether or not some of the kids that live at the border could actually go over. It's the same thing with Greenfield, Greendale, all that, where you have those houses where somebody got mad and said, I don't like it and I want to live in my city. And so you drive up the street and you have like 4 houses that are in Wauwatosa, 2 houses are Milwaukee and other houses. Well, they said those kids, because they're all going to different schools, why can't we, if they choose to, come to our school?
Well, don't we already have that? Don't we have open enrollment?
It's called
don't we
open
have
enrollment.
Transfer program, all of that stuff?
Yeah, I kind of thought so, but.
So I, reading this, I don't know that it's necessarily a serious proposal. I think one of the things that was controversial about it was people heard about it in Tulsa and they're like, what is it? And I think the board did the right thing in suggesting we need to release this legal opinion that we got and people can see for themselves.
Well, instead of the kids, let's release the schools. That'll make less schools that the police have to now have school resource officers. I don't know.
It is, and Tulsa voters are going to face a $60 million referendum coming up in November. They're trying to keep all of the, I believe it's 9 elementary schools in Tulsa. I feel the conflict within the district because one of the things that was so attractive for our family when I was young and for families today is you have a walkable district. There's no busing in Tulsa, but for here or there. So every kid can walk to school, to a neighborhood school, and you want that to survive, but the economics aren't working out.
Well, I don't know if it's the economics. They're not having children. So I don't have any kids to put into K-4 to go all the way through K-12, you know. Why would I keep a school open? Makes no sense. That's the economic part that parents aren't thinking about. So the more you keep schools open, the more money you're going to pay, and your property taxes are going to go up, and you're going to keep getting referendums. And by the way, it was $64 million referendum. Was that $4 million?
I was waiting for that.
Okay, I was going to ask. What doesn't help?
Well, yeah,
it doesn't help. At least it came out before the referendum vote, unlike in Milwaukee. Right.
That's true. And so you overpaid $4 million. Well, where'd it come from? Like, how'd you? So that's interesting. I'm assuming they don't have the same CFO. Or did they take Milwaukee's CFO?
From what I understand is they have a new CFO who discovered some of these errors. And much like what we had here in Milwaukee, what is this?
So now when you hire a CFO, make sure they can use software and not an abacus. And then we'll be great.
You've mentioned this before, this idea of people not having kids. And that's interesting because
it's not an idea.
I understand that the stats indicate. Then why are there school districts? It's just their pockets that are growing because there are school districts everywhere trying to build new things, build new classrooms, add this, add that. Clearly, there's a need in some areas because of, I would assume, more kids going to some of these schools.
Well, part of the issue is the buildings, right? So that's the one thing that no one ever. Unfortunately, we built schools too well. So we've got 40, 50-year-old buildings in MPS that have no AC. Like, they've already started. School hasn't started yet. The people that got to go to school, they can't go to school to work, to set up, because it's too hot.
Right.
So at some point, they were derelict in their duty to say, we have to maintain our property. And some of these buildings, we need a pattern of tear down, rebuild. That's what you're saying, but eventually they're going to have to tear down and sell all those other schools because the kids aren't there.
Well, it is a classic in many cases of kicking the can down the road, right? You don't do the maintenance.
Absolutely.
You don't do the maintenance. I mean, a lot of those elementary schools were old when I went there.
Right.
40 years ago or whatever it was. Be about 40, right, at elementary. Sure. That's good math. But, yeah, they were old when I got there. And so, they do need updating. To Eric's point, you have migration. I mean, people are moving into other areas. Other areas are getting built up. So, in some cases, you can entirely see why you're asking for money to build new schools because you do have increasing enrollment in other areas, but it's coming from somewhere.
But then give me a plan of what you're going to do with what you have. But those kids weren't born. There's a 15% drop that's just hitting colleges next year.
Right.
So that means that these schools already don't have kids.
Dr. Ken Harris, you can hear him every afternoon on 101.7 The Truth, host of The Afternoon Show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
6:57 on Wisconsin's Morning News.